unmuted.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, motion for the agenda.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, question on the motion. Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Within the minutes of July 11th, any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Written correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, now's the time for public comment. Mr. Guy, anybody signed up? Okay, we have somebody signed up. You can speak to council, and we have any control over interest in. You have 3 minutes. When you start, the clock's going to turn green. Or not the clock, marks are going to turn green. When it turns red, you are done. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I won't take 3 minutes.
That's fine.
Mr. President, members of the council, I'm Jack Young with the League of Women Voters. I'm pleased to introduce Lisa Drotter, who's with the League and will be attending sessions in person or on Zoom or screaming. Yes, I said screaming.
Yes.
Not streaming.
We try not to do that, but
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, you got the point, Mr. Hudson. So anyway, thank you, and I hope you we'll give her the courtesies that I know you give all of our other citizens. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Good morning. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Operator, check online, please.
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple items this morning to get to. First item is a public interview of Planning and Zoning Commission nominee. Today we have a public interview per Delaware Code and County Code of the nominee for District 2, nominated by Mr. Riley, and the candidate's name is Mr. Brian Butler. I believe we are joined by Mr. Butler today. Mr. Butler, welcome. We'd invite you to come forward to the podium. Members of Council, I handed out your I handed out Mr. Butler's completed application this morning at your desks. If you have any other questions or concerns, we can begin the interview. Okay. Mr. Butler, welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations on being nominated. The council has your completed application in front of them. I will go through these questions one by one. Feel free to answer them, and they may have follow-up questions during the question and answer or at the end of the interview.
I just ask you guys to bear with me a little bit. I've caught a cold in this flood, so I'll do the best I can.
Thank you. Okay, I'll begin. Please provide a narrative of your background and why you want to serve as an appointed member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
First of all, I'd like to thank the council for having me here today. Mr. Riley, thank you for nominating me for this position. Also, I'd like to thank my family who's sitting behind me. Without them, I wouldn't be here. I was born in Seaford, Delaware, raised in Bridgeville, where I reside today. We have a small farm where we raise cows. And during the pandemic, we were able to feed ourselves and our family, along with extended family and friends, through our greenhouses. Our farm is also part of the forestry program. We have raised 4 great children and instilled in them, if you take something from nature, you must return something to it, i.e. planting trees or returning to wildlife. My parents own Westwood Farms in Millsboro and Westwood Grain Elevators. As I spent over half my life in Bridgeville, Fire Company, Station 72, as a volunteer. I have achieved lifetime membership status. I have served as an appointed lieutenant, an appointed captain, later elected second assistant chief by my peers, and I now serve as first assistant chief. All while maintaining my volunteer status, I have also had the privilege of working with Richard Carla at Pine Breeze Farms, who has taught me a tremendous amount. What a great man. When I was first starting my own business, I stood in this very room and I would asking for to be granted my conditional use to be able to work at home and run my business. Thankfully, that was granted. As time went on, my business grew and I was able to afford to buy my first commercial piece of property located in the town of Bridgeville. Once again, I found it was not that easy as buying a piece of commercial ground and opening up a business. Once again, I found myself in front of the town of Bridgeville Planning and Zoning Commission with little to no money left to my name as I sat nervously listening to the Planning and Zoning Committee discussing the questions to the other candidates. Finally, it was my turn to present my intent and my site plan. With a stroke of the gavel, I had passed and to move forward with my construction project. My business has now grown to over 15 employees with stable, good-paying jobs. As the company grew, it allowed me to venture into different projects in commercial, residential properties. I learned quickly and easily to work with the jurisdictions, i.e. planning and zoning and town managers. And working with them to ask the needs of the area to grow. It's easy just to throw up a for sale sign and walk away, but it's much easier to ask what the town needs to help them. I believe Western Sussex is in a growth area with the dwindling land of the east side mixed with the skyrocketing prices of the land. It is very important to balance the ag community with the growth of the area expected for the west side. In my experience, ag and forestry programs have helped the ag industry survive or at least get given the farmer the chance for a fighting chance to buy land and compete with the big developers. I also know that the farmer's retirement plan lay in their land, which is 100% their right to farm, preserve, lease, or sell their land. And that would be my opening statement to number one.
Okay, thank you.
We're good, yeah, I guess.
Next question. Have you ever served on any boards or commissions that have decision-making authority? If yes, please describe your experience in serving.
Yes, so approximately 10 years I served on the board of directors for Station 72, which is day-to-day operations, employee issues, every gambit of that aspect of being in planning and zoning, or not planning and zoning, but on the board of directors. I'm also a committee member of Sussex Tech. So actually we're laying out the new building for the new project for Sussex Tech to bring it up to date so the kids will have a fighting chance of knowing how the world exists today and our business.
Okay. One of the statutory requirements of planning and zoning commissioners is that they be persons having the knowledge and experience to pass upon planning and zoning problems in connection with urban and rural development. Please describe your knowledge and experience in planning and zoning within Sussex County or another jurisdiction.
I have some experience in planning and zoning. I've had to go before them for my own self or in my own businesses. When it was located at my home, I appeared in this very room to ask for a conditional use, which thankfully, years later, I appreciate what they had done. I had a dear friend, former Councilman Finley Jones, to help me walk me through the process because I had no idea at that time what I was doing. I've also had to go before planning and zoning for different jurisdictions and towns for different projects I've worked on. I have also helped friends and family navigate through the process as I have learned.
Okay. Please provide your views on the role of the Planning and Zoning Commission. please, let me start over. Please provide your views on the role the Planning and Zoning Commission has or should have in the decision-making process of land use in the county.
My view on the role of the Planning and Zoning Commission is to review the proposed applications and make recommendations to the council, just to make sure everything fits in the boxes.
All right, Sussex County currently operates within the 2018 Comprehensive Land Use Plan, known as the Comp Plan. Please describe your familiarity with the county's Comp Plan. Please provide your thoughts on the new Comp Plan and the role it should have on the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision-making process.
I have read through the Comp Plan. Huge. It's not a day or two process, by far. Spent my vacation reading through it. Would I say I'm familiar with it? No. Do I feel confident I can find the answers in it? Yes. And then make, once to put all that together, and we'll make a recommendation as a board or as a commission and present it to the county council.
Good. Agriculture is the number one industry in the state of Delaware and Sussex County. Please provide your views on the agriculture industry as it relates to the economy and land use.
I believe the agriculture industry should be nurtured and upheld with the utmost respect. It employs thousands of workers in Sussex County, also the people who migrate here. They pump money into our economy, and it just needs to be taken care of and with the utmost respect.
Please describe your views on property rights.
I'm 100% for property rights. I believe property rights are very big for the owner. As for myself, and I'm going to speak for myself. I own quite a bit of, not quite a bit of land. I own a little bit of land. That's my pension plan. So as I get older, there'll be a day that I will sell my property, or I will put it in preservation or ag prep. Ag and forestry preservation. But I'll repeat again, I'm 100% for the landowner.
Okay, just a few more questions. The Planning and Zoning Commission meets on Thursdays every other week with its regular meeting at 3 p.m. In addition, special meetings are held when necessary. Are you able to fulfill this requirement and attend the necessary meetings?
Yes.
As an appointed official of the commission, the potential for conflict of interest with an application is always present. Do you have any known or anticipated conflicts of interest that may present themselves as a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission that would affect your ability to serve?
No.
Okay, thank you.
If one of those positions arose, I would recuse myself for those.
Thank you. Okay, Council, that concludes the public interview portion of this consideration. That's all the questions I have.
I got a couple of questions. I'm going to ask the same ones I asked the previous applicants.
Okay.
I know the answer, but anyway, what experience, if any, do you have in the real estate industry?
So my favorite project is to find dilapidated properties, preferably with commercial or older homes. And we're working on a project in Bridgeville right now where we're demolishing two homes. For a customer of ours, and you know, that's a passion of mine to turn that land back to use. So as everybody's familiar with Jimmy's Grill, there was two dilapidated homes, so we've cleaned both those pieces of property up so they could be reused at a later date.
But that wasn't, that's not your property or necessarily?
No, that's not my property.
Okay. I know that, have you ever attended any Planning and Zoning Commission meeting hearings?
Yes.
If so, in what capacity? You were an applicant, I think, right?
Yes. Okay. A few times. I've also attended them for another project we worked on. I did not speak in those, but I did attend for the buyer.
And you certainly have read Planning and Zoning Commission decisions.
Yes. Most recent was the concrete plant in Bridgeville.
Okay. And you are you familiar with the land use plan?
Yes.
Okay. Questions, anybody? Anybody got questions? Anything at all? Anything at all? Okay, I got a couple of things left then. I'll be the last one, then we'll be done. I told the last people here, I'm going to make sure you're aware of this. If you are appointed to Planning and Zoning, the only thing you can make your decision on is what's presented to public hearing.
Correct.
Not what your neighbor tells you or somebody calls you on the phone or whatever. It's strictly based on that hearing and what's presented.
Correct.
You understand? Okay. Okay. And this is a three-year term.
Correct.
Okay. Do you intend to serve all 3 years?
As long as I'm alive.
Okay. And the last question, only because this apparently has come up on wherever radio, some show. Do you have any intention to run for county council next election?
And I would like to address Ms. Green herself. No, I do not. I have other things to do. No, Ms. Green, I do not.
Thank you.
I didn't ask the question.
I know you didn't. I did.
But I thought I needed to say it to her.
Any more questions? Okay, Mr. Lawson, we're done with the hearing.
Can I just ask him the concrete business that was there? That's a big deal in Bridgeville. Mm-hmm. So where do you stand on the cement company building there next to Heritage Shores the concrete part of it as well? I think maybe the statement.
Well, you wouldn't have a stance until you hear a hearing, right?
I would have to read the whole document to see. All I hear is what's on the radio,
sure.
What's coming from Heritage Shores, people sitting in my office talking about it. So I have read through it a little bit.
But Mr. Warren, sure I'm right, Mr. Moore. For him to have any input,
yeah.
It would have to be a different hearing that he would be part of.
That is correct. So. What, in effect, that question is asking is kind of prejudging what, if something came before you at a later time, whether it be remanded by the court or a new application,
right.
And any decision would be made based upon what was in the record at that time.
Okay, can we back up? What was your statement about the concrete? There was a statement.
There's just a lot of contention of the concrete plant being built in Bridgeville.
Yes.
Which is behind the 7-Eleven. There is need for our concrete plant, but there's also homes around that concrete plant. Concrete plants generate a lot of noise. But now I'm understanding from the public, and their big concern is the dust. Dust, concrete is crushed when it's wet. So that controls the dust, but it does not control the noise. So I understand their point of view. So I would have to read the document entirely and listen to the statements of, you know, the public to get a full understanding. Like I said, it's people coming in my office and I sit here, listen to them talk and speak about the concrete plant. So as I know, they are going to use that, but in a different capacity, as far as I know at this point. But this would be something I would have to read the entire document to give you a correct answer.
Thank you.
Let's answer to the voters and the people.
Mr. President, based on that answer, could I just follow up
you
with a quick question?
Yes,
so you indicated based on people coming to your office and discussing this, you do understand that if you are appointed, people come into your office discussing this, you mm-hmm. can't take that into consideration of your vote, although they may be your friends or
right.
the constituents, but you would have to limit your decision strictly on what was in the record.
That is correct. My favorite thing is listening to the people sitting in the lobby.
Okay, thank you.
More questions, Council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawson?
Okay, I need direction from Council on what they'd like to do with this nominee.
Mr. Raleigh, it's your nominee, so would you like to?
I'd like to move forward. I think the process has been underway for some time. We've had opportunities to vet. And,
Michael.
I'd like to move forward. The process has been underway for some time, and we've had opportunity to vet and read the resume and listen to questions. And so I know we're down one person at planning and zoning, and we need to get staffed up, so I'm prepared to move forward.
Okay. You have a motion then, Mr. Lawson?
I have a motion I can read.
Okay.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Brian Butler to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission effective immediately for a term of 3 years until such time as the term expires in June of 2026.
So moved. Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
I'll second it.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We will take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
I'd like to make a comment that the intent of this commission is that the elected official of that district nominate their person. And as was evident on the radio this morning, this is retaliation from Mr. Riley about his election. And so my vote is no.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
My vote is yes.
My vote's yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you. Next item is update regarding County Council initiative. Mr. President, I'm going to move down to the podium for a PowerPoint.
Okay.
I didn't hear you vote.
Yes, it was 4-1.
I didn't hear the vote.
All right. A few weeks ago, Council President Vincent asked for an update on county initiatives. So staff has prepared this presentation to go through these items. All right. So recall back beginning of this year, again, you all submitted a list to county staff related to your initiatives for the upcoming year. This is sort of an ongoing process that we've used over time where President Vincent asks all members of council for their priorities and initiatives. Staff takes that list and then combines the information that we have and sort of puts it into this table that we highlighted back in March of this year to show you two sets of initiatives. The priority initiatives, which is the table column on the left, and that includes county code updates, Delaware code updates, DelDOT initiatives, and PNZ initiatives. That column could be best described as initiatives that came from more than one council member as your priorities for the county to be working on. On the right is the ongoing initiatives, where items that were included on at least one person's submittal related to your priorities. Airport construction, broadband, business park expansion, Delaware State Police, EMS, fire and BLS support, and then land trust and open space acquisitions. So on the right, the ongoing initiatives could best be described as something that council's very familiar with, things we work on a monthly, yearly basis, things that get approved in the budget that staff are working on at your direction. I think what you really want to hear is what's happening on your priority initiatives. So we'll go through those, and I'm happy to answer any questions, but I'll focus in on the priority initiatives, starting with the county code updates. So on the list that was presented in March, we had specific code updates that we were working on, starting with the subdivision appeal timing ordinance. That was an ordinance that we changed the timing of the subdivision appeal, in essence gave the council more time to hear an appeal that came from a Planning and Zoning Commission decision. Solar farms, by the way, that ordinance has been heard and approved. Solar farms, creating guardrails for future solar farm ordinances that you see, making sure that those are those items of approval are similar, if not exact, every single application. So we have a standard. That ordinance has been introduced and approved. And then amenity standards, having standards set forth for all subdivisions, mostly involving the amenities such as the clubhouse, tot lot, swimming pool, landscaping. Those amenity standards have been introduced. Planning and zoning has recommended approval, and you coincidentally hear that this afternoon in a public hearing. The other two ordinances that we are working on is master planning. That's been introduced. We have received a lot of recommendations from other entities, including PLUS, DelDOT. We're probably going to have to reintroduce that to just show you the updates so that we can have a formalized ordinance that has that feedback baked into it. That's going to be ready in a matter of weeks to months to have reintroduced. And then through lots, that's sort of house cleaning for planning and zoning. That's ready for introduction as we speak. We've talked a little bit about the quality stormwater management. That's the idea that our county engineer Hans Medlar has put forward on the banking program for us to have quality stormwater management banking. And we've worked quite a bit behind the scenes, staff level and our attorneys. We probably need to have further discussion and direction from council based on some of the information that we've gathered. So more to come on that item when it relates to the quality stormwater management banking. So the next priority on the list was Delaware code updates. Last week I presented the wrap-up for the General Assembly and the work that they did. One of those items was the reassessment. We worked with the General Assembly to make sure that the reassessment every 5 years was in a manner that the council or the county would be in agreeable to. That sets a standard for all three counties to reassess every 5 years. There are going to be additional updates on reassessment that I highlighted last week that we're going to work on in the next session specific to reassessment. There's a lot of stale language that we have worked on and shared with the other two counties to hopefully join forces with them to work on setting a standard statewide on reassessment, in particular the appeals process, which today is not followed.
That's going to need to be clear because I suspect we're going to be using it quite a bit.
I think you're right. I think that's probably the biggest unknown and maybe biggest fear, if you will, or trepidation is the appeal process coming out of our first reassessment ever.
Right.
How that unfolds and who those five volunteers are that sit through these appeals. If in fact that's the...
Is that going to be volunteers or you just got to appoint people?
We're recruit.
Can we introduce a draft?
Yeah. So stand by. A lot of that's going to come with the assistance of the other two counties, which you're familiar with our conversations there. Of course, DLDOT is always top of mind in our initiatives, and we highlighted that this is one of your initiatives every year. And back in March, we updated you that County Council is going to have an update directly from DLDOT. From that point moving forward, DLDOT has either appeared here or had numerous workshops in and around the county on some of these issues listed. And part of this update that they made to council included these items, multimodal projects, the two TIDs, Henlopen being the one that's already created, and we are receiving funding through the Henlopen TID as we speak. The Roxana TID, which is still in the beginning stages of creation. The good news is DLDOT has worked on the district area of the TID, if you will. Our planning zoning office has worked on the forecast of the land use within that TID. We had an update call last week on that. We are going to very soon be ready to roll that out for your input.
This might not be a fair question, but with regard to the Henlopen TID, do you have any opinion on how successful it is to date?
So it's doing exactly what it purported to do, collect funding for projects inside the TID. But I think we all would agree that the speed in which DLDOT can see construction projects unfold from that, we wish could happen sooner. And that's just the nature of DLDOT's process. So it is collecting the money. The money will be there when the projects come online. It's just a matter of all of us want to see the projects being built. So the good news is the money's being held and collected. Perhaps the part we hope would improve is the speed in which DLDOT could see these construction projects through. There are some very large projects within the Henlopen TID, including, for instance, in my estimation, one of the first new roads to be built in Sussex County ever in the last three decades, perhaps, is the Mulberry Knoll Extension, which will connect 24 with Route 9. It grew out of the Five Points Initiative to create more interconnectivity between these major routes and a grid system in eastern Sussex County. When that comes online, part of the funding will be from the Henlopen TID.
Yeah, I recall the secretary, when she was here, saying that you're getting complaints right now about the lack of infrastructure and construction. Soon you'll have complaints about all the orange cones around. And her words were right on.
Yeah. If you drive around the Five Points area and you see the new roundabout that's being built, experience the improvements along 24, whether it be near Plantations Road or all the way down near Long Neck Road, the improvements are great. It just took a long time to get there. And we're hoping that DLDOT continues all their efforts to construct those improvements along the way. A big issue that they worked on here recently is the coastal corridor study and the SR1 corridor capacity study. You mentioned Orange Cones. There is $4.45 billion to be spent over the next 6 years, $1.37 billion in Sussex County. That's the CTP program, which is the real construction projects that we see coming out of the county and DLDOT's efforts. And then we're developing the next CTP, which is the 25 to 30.
Should we remind anybody that might be listening today that they can have input into that?
Correct. We received numerous recommendations that have been vetted by DLDOT. They're now taking those projects and running them through their formula to see if it makes sense from the funding standpoint as well as the other elements that they study, including road safety, economic development, project movement. So we will get that list sometime this fall. And then last, during, I believe it was Ms. Hastings that came down, she provided specific road construction projects updates here in Sussex mm-hmm. County. So a lot going on in the DLDOT world, and that's part of your initiative that you would hope to see through. And then last is the planning zoning initiatives. And again, at the same day I rolled out the council initiatives, we followed that with a presentation on specific planning zoning initiatives. And we discussed certain things that we called development design, which eventually could work through the process and become ordinances that are considered by Planning Zoning Commission and you. We discussed those things, including the open space buffers, forest preservation, superior design, and cluster subdivision at that March 7th meeting. Looking back, we were hoping to have a workshop during the spring with the commission. However, we knew that a couple commissioners were coming off, and we waited until this time frame to have a full commission. And we are hoping to hold a workshop with the commission and council in the next couple months to talk about these ideas as well as some of the trends and observations that they're seeing at the commission level. Now, as you're familiar, this has gained some attention from some outside entities. You all received a letter from the CDAC group last week, I believe, requesting their involvement in this development design effort. So the only reaction I could say to that letter is this will be a very public vetting of ideas, some of which may or may not gain traction from you. Some may not be part of your initiatives that you want to see move forward. So we will publicly work through that, and it'll be a very open discussion. So I welcome their input along the way. Let's dive into specifics, which is what staff is working on now so that we can roll out to you all. You've heard me talk a lot about these issues. These are, they're all intertwined, right? These are specific county code sections, but they all are part of the development design. When a developer is walking through a subdivision, they are following these county code references. And if we adjust one, others will be affected. So we have to keep that in mind. Open space, we talked about the definition and the permanent use today in open space. As you know, today open space allows swimming pools, it allows recreational centers, it allows active and passive sections of use that perhaps maybe you don't view as correct open space, like the grass along the roads, and then the perimeter buffers around subdivisions that may or may not be enjoyed by the entire development. Something we need to look at. It's not been touched in many, many years, and just want to make sure that it's being applied correctly. More importantly, the superior design requirements listed in 115.25, this is really what developers must follow when they are putting cluster subdivisions through, which is the majority of what we're seeing today, and they're following this element. And we need to talk about some of these things, including the perimeter buffer. We had a lot of public comments earlier this year about the perimeter buffers being affected by development, whereas the developer comes in, affects the entire property right to the property line, and the perimeter buffers are then planted back. I think we have certain council members that think that should be improved, and perhaps the perimeter buffer should be protected in some way.
I get feedback about that every week of my life. So
I think, I mean, we've talked about that for, and it's something, Councilman Hudson brought up like 2 years ago or something.
Right.
About that, where they cut all the trees down and go in and do.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So I understand what you're saying.
The public reacts poorly to that.
Yeah.
And that's a big, thing, I think, that we need to focus on is the tree size and such as that to make sure they're saved.
Correct. And it's going to be a balancing act, right? Because I've also heard members of council say people own the trees and they have the ability to cut down those trees in certain circumstances, so.
Certainly a fine line.
It is a fine line, correct. This is development design. So if you throw all of this in one bucket, that's what we're talking about. These are the ideas that we're going to bring forward to you and get your feedback and direction on. There are some other things that we've talked about over time. You've made mention during actual public hearings that you'd like to see us tackle. These are listed here, including site work requirements like the limit of disturbance line, so that that's shown clearly on the recorded plan and also out on site, so the developers know how far they can go with their equipment. A forest assessment before any work happens on the property. If you decide to develop that property, you talked about forest preservations. Maybe we need to develop incentives to allow for forest preservation. Something that we've had recently from the Soil Conservation District is the meadow option for open space, where a controlled meadow or something that has guardrails where we know what is taking place there and it's approved and it's on the recorded site plan, that could be an option for open space instead of just grass cut down to low standards. We've talked recently about street standards, the county versus state maintained standards. Restricting development amenities that are separated by the state roads. You all have had some concerns about clubhouses on each side of the state road and what to do about that. We've heard from the Planning and Zoning Commission and our attorneys. We're handling those on a case-by-case basis right now. Probably difficult to codify that in some kind of legal requirement, but it is something that the commission is very much aware of. And then transfer development rights, something we've talked about. We've had a few meetings and discussions with our attorneys. That's a big issue that's going to take a pretty heavy lift, I think. And I said back in March it would probably require us to have some kind of consultant come in and explain this to us and understand exactly what we may or may not be able to consider there. So these are the topics under that planning and zoning priority initiatives that we're working on, things that staff have been working on. We're starting to get to the point where during the workshop we can roll out specifics. And it's my hope that by the fall, we're introducing ordinances and seeing those through the public hearing process. I'll touch lastly on this slide. This is the other side of the table. The issues that you guys brought forward that are sort of our standard initiatives throughout the county government, things that you just approved in this year's budget, such as airport construction, our business park expansion. You heard last week the Delaware State Police, we're gonna add new troopers to the state police complement for Sussex. EMS support, fire and BLS support, top of mind, and then our land trust and open space acquisition. We continue to work on identifying properties that we can preserve and in joint with the land trust. I believe that concludes our initiatives review. Any questions?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
A lot of work going on and continue to be going on. But just wanted everybody to get an update where we are and what's going on, and so the public knows we are working on these things.
Yes.
At some level.
Stay tuned for more. Thank
Amen.
You.
And last is your report, which isn't very long.
Okay. County Administrator's report for July 18th, 2023, item one. It's with sadness that we note the recent passing of William C. Bill Scott of Selbyville. Mr. Scott, a noted furniture businessman, designed Sussex County's official flag back in the 1970s as part of the nation's bicentennial celebration. Council formally adopted the flag on December 3rd, 1974. The prototype flag is designed and on display in the lobby in the county administrative offices in Georgetown. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Scott family. And item two, a reminder, the council will not meet next Tuesday, July 25th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held Tuesday, August 1st at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Parker. There you go. No, you can go ahead. Go ahead.
Is your mic on?
Yeah, hit that. You got it.
All good? Mm-hmm. Good morning again, council members. Here once again with an update, hopefully the last one for me on this five-year inspection cycle for the Ocean Outfall Repair Initiative that's been ongoing. The memo that's in your packet have outlined a series of events beginning really back in 2021 with our last five-year cycle system inspection leading up to council-approved action in February of this year, which was to develop a request for proposal to address the remaining repairs to the outfall structure. So you'll recall that an additional inspection that was done last fall by a specialty marine vendor did reveal that additional repairs were in fact needed to the cathodic protection system, which is along the exposed structural vents that support our diffuser pipe, so a pretty critical part of our system. The repairs essentially consist of installing remaining missing and damaged bonding wires and also replacing worn anodes. And again, these are all critical components to our cathodic protection system. So due to the specialty nature of the work, the RFP was developed to incorporate a best value evaluation process, and we considered both price as well as vendor qualifications. The RFP was advertised on May 26, 2023. We received a total of five bids on June 22nd, so we had a pretty good reaction to our RFP. One of the bids was deemed non-responsive upon our review. So the four remaining bids were from Ballard Marine Construction, JF Brennan Company Underwater Construction, and the fourth was McLean Contracting. Based on the results of the best value evaluation process, the engineering department recommends award of the project to Ballard Marine Construction for a total base bid price of $154,500 with base bid standby crew time and contingent items only used if deemed necessary per the unit prices submitted.
You have a motion?
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that 2023 Ocean Outfall Repairs Project G2318 be awarded to Ballard Marine Construction for a base bid price of $154,500 with base bid standby crew time and contingent items only used if deemed necessary per the unit prices submitted.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Sorry. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Sorry. Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
I think considering the nature of the work, they're going to earn every penny. So my vote's yes.
Very important. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Ashman.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Morning.
Had to get on the right one there. This is for the proposed Red Fox Run expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. This is in the West Rehoboth area, and the engineering department had received a request from Red Fox Run Homeowners Association to make a presentation on requesting central sewer for their community. The engineering department met with them, and at their meeting on March 4th, 2023, provided details and potential costs for extension of sanitary sewer. The board requested that the department circulate polling letters to the property owners to gauge their interest in central sewer, and the responses were received over a three-month period showing 21 in favor, 14 opposed, and 12 not responding. The engineering department would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing of this annexation. This will be an off-site meeting, and that tentative public hearing date is scheduled for September 16th of 2023.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Red Fox Run expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include all parcels in the Red Fox Run subdivision as presented on July 18th, 2020.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer. Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I would guess motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Metalor.
Mr. President, council members, good morning.
Morning.
Just to follow up on Mr. Ashman, the public meeting for the information disbursement was well attended. We had like 60 people, over 60 people there. So we chose to make it off-site because there's going to be a lot of follow-up discussion. As you can see, there's some active parties not in favor. There's a large number of people are in favor. So expect, again, about 100 attendees, and I think it'd be overwhelming the chambers to have it here. But the way we always conclude these is that he and I will ask for anybody who has not yet petitioned to come forward and petition formally, and anybody who wants to change their petition in favor or against. So when we come back to you to report the results, we would get the updated numbers. So that way you get the full picture without having to sit through 2 hours worth of testimony.
We thank you for that.
So moving forward to South Coastal. I hadn't been back for South Coastal in quite a while. We've been doing fairly uneventful, working through the project fairly uneventfully. We have a number of new initiatives right now. Both of these were actually both big ones were brought forward by the Environmental Services Department, a division. And the first one has to do with the loading of the biosolids coming off the belt filter presses. If you remember from your tour, the big bins we purchase and we move around the county under our regional program, these bins get loaded from the presses directly in the bins. So because South Coastal is the biggest producer for biosolid class B, we had in the project as it currently stands designed a winch system which moves the bin back and forth based on loading sensors. So because the project has taken quite a while to get there and our regional biosolids initiative has been going on for 2 years, the division found that moving the bin once in a while with the loader, we have big loaders there, is not a cumbersome task. So they move it once a day, maybe, so to move the pile. And in total, maybe 3 times the bin gets moved. So it was an internal discussion to take the bin winch system out. And there's an electrical component which goes with it. We haven't gotten pricing. But since we had the information from the original bid what this system is worth, we knew it was over $250,000 credit. So we felt for the effort it takes to move the bins, it's not worth to have a fairly complex system which has subsequent maintenance and repair requirements over the 20-year lifetime. So that was a mutual decision brought forward by the ES. Now, that's on the credit side. The lagoons, and you may remember the sludge, we're talking about the sludge lagoons, the 3 sludge lagoons at South Coastal. The sludge lagoon lighting was not in the project, but it dates back to 1976. So over the last 2 years, as the project's been unfolding, last 2.5 years, we are now down to less than 50% working light circuits on the lighting system for the lagoons. So the team asked for, can we get new lighting to the lagoons? That means new conduits, new poles, new bases, because the poles are now, several of the poles are compromised. And we had to take actually down a couple of poles because they were not standing up to wind loads and one of them fell over. Credit, big credit on the one side, big expense on the other side. So we do recommend to get a new lighting system for safety. And our safety team was involved with Mr. Rasko. So it is a recommendation. So we have a number of other minor changes to the, and I want to mention one which was interesting. We had a pressure transient go when we commissioned the mechanical pump station. That's the pump station which serves all return flows at the facility. So if you have the built filter press going, somebody flushes in the admin building, or if we have anything going in the electric shop, all that flow goes to the plant station called mechanical station, and it's connected to the influent, the screens and the grid chamber, and there was a weird pressure transient went through the system when we started it. I carefully looked at it all, and I couldn't explain it, so we made a decision to replace a gauge in the effluent line for that pump station with a recording transducer so we can gauge what caused it and do we see recurrences to that. So that is a let's call it a county engineer initiative in order to protect our asset and make sure we don't have a transient which I could not properly forecast.
Sure.
So these are sort of the big ones. And then, as I said, we have several of them moving forward, which you'll see me back on South Coastal in probably 3-4 weeks. So I do have a couple of motions for you.
I thought you would. Why don't you start off?
let's start with the general contract. BB moves based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 29 for contract C-19-11 South Coastal Regional Treatment Facility Treatment Process Upgrade Number 3 and Rehoboth Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant Capital Improvement Program Phase 2 General Construction be approved, decreasing the contract by $280,489.60.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer. Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll yes, motion carried. Next.
BB move based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and change order number 23 for contract C-19-17 South Coastal Treatment Process Upgrade Number 3 and Rehoboth Beach Capital Improvement Program Phase 2 Electrical Construction be approved for an increase of $101,557.20.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes, motion carried. Next.
On the electrical side, you saw several of these RFPs were no cost by the electric contractor. We're getting some really good pricing and some fair considerations. You know, like I've seen a number of no costs or even, you know, like good fair pricing.
That's a good thing.
Yes. Next one up is the professional services RK&K for the construction phase services for the constructed wetland in Inland Bays. Anybody who's seen Inland Bays recently, it is a massive construction effort. And I've never seen as much land moving equipment on one site.
It's a lot of area.
It is, and they're ahead of schedule.
Wow.
So, which is great because, you know, like they have access to, you know, iron. I haven't seen. I mean, like we got 6 pans moving. They're bringing more and more equipment down, and we're probably going to complete this project by the end of this year, which would be 4 months ahead of schedule.
Wow.
So,
it's good.
And so, right now, this week, we're starting the construction for the wetland. And that is, we're building 2 stormwater wetlands and 1 wetland for groundwater and effluent. So that wetland had some inspection and testing requirements where we have to have the soil scientists, geotechnical engineers, and the testing guys there to do the double ring infiltrometer tests. That's actually unfolding. Started yesterday, will be ongoing through the entire week until next Tuesday. So I just got that on the agenda in a very timely fashion. So the initial amendment, which covered the design for RK&K under the environmental engineering, which was awarded by council, only has $16,000, $17,000. We need about $90,000 more. So I have combined that, closing out that one agreement, and just opening a new construction phase agreement with RK&K, which will carry us through all this testing, the analysis, the report, and the submittal of all the data to DENREC, because we do need to submit that to them. So I gave you the construction background for that particular project in the memo, and I gave you the selection process of how RK&K became the environmental engineers.
Right.
So between the two of you, you can put the two pieces together, and the recommendation is to close the one amendment and to open the construction phase services agreement.
Okay.
BB move based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, the County Council approved the RK&K construction phase services proposal in the amount of $96,738.42 and transfer $16,535.25, the remaining balance of amendment number 1 for a total of $113,273.67.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. And next.
So any of the unused funds will then, we have no further projects for RK&K, so they would just flow back to the to the construction budget. The next one is the minor cap project, and that one is, you're very familiar with major cap. That's the general labor and equipment contract, which is worth millions and millions of dollars. So you know the solicitation process for the general labor and equipment projects, how that unfolds on the best value basis. So we have found that more and more this big contract gets bogged down by small cap requests which flow through environmental services. And in order to not distract the team, you know, it's bad enough that they have to do the emergencies, but to distract the team to do these projects, the $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 projects. We discussed that with the finance team. Ms. Jennings and I looked at the minor cap approach up to $100,000, which is what you have now in your new procurement policy, and how can we structure a minor cap to that. So the approach was to solicit three well-known utility companies, which we have experience with, and have a good working background. They have a proven track record, to approach them and request whether they would be available and willing to give us pricing on a case-by-case basis or a decline based on their workload at the time, and then allow us to issue purchase orders based on the solicitation in accordance with the procurement policy. So, because you were familiar with the general labor and equipment, you approved the general labor and equipment, we felt this is a one-time touch for County Council to approve the minor capital approach with these companies in mind, which have a proven track record with the County Engineering Department. So hopefully you find that.
Makes sense.
Well, anything which gives us more bang for sure. Our buck here in getting, you know, infrastructure asset improvement projects done.
Ask you a quick question. These three companies, are they different from the, you have a, what I call an on-call, I think it's TEAL. You know, don't you have on-call services?
No, we have a general labor and equipment contract.
This is a different?
That's the multi-million dollar three-year contract, which will get rebid again next year. So that is completely different. They do emergency response.
Okay.
These companies could do emergency response, but they're not. You know, we never asked them to, and very few companies are interested to do emergency response. So these companies would also get paid for mobilization. The general labor and equipment contract has a big mobilization pack number in it, built in it. BB moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that council grant approval of the minor capital project solicitation project process and issuance of purchase orders in accordance with the procurement policy thereafter.
Pleasure, counsel. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
A second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes, Mr. Gary. Thank you, sir. And I think if my numbers are right, I think you're about $75,000 to the good now right now. Today.
Today.
Yeah, yeah. Continue that. We appreciate that. Grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is for the Town of Laurel. They're requesting $1,000 for their 4th of July firework display. Last grant for this event was in the amount of $1,500 from Mr. Vincent. Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Somebody make that motion, please.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 1 Council Bank account to the Town of Laurel for the 4th of July fireworks display. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yield. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is the Society of St. Andrews is requesting $1,500 for their Delmarva Gleaning Network program, which harvests and provides residential commercial produce to various food banks and pantries. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Hudson.
I would like to grant $1,500 from my councilmatic account, please.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley to grant $1,500 to the Society of St. Andrew Incorporated for their Delmarva Gleaning Network from District 4 Council Mac account.
Yes.
Question on the motion.
Question.
Mrs.
Is
Green.
Is this countywide? Is this going to go?
They go all over the place, yes.
It is going to be the county.
Mm-hmm.
I do support the program on the looks of it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to put $500 to add to yours.
Okay. And they asked for how much?
They asked for $1,500.
Okay, so you want to make yours $1,000, hers $500 then?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
So what was it? They had a I can't bring it up right now, but total they were needing, what they were behind or needed more. What was their total need? Do you know what their total need? I can pull it up. I know I can't find it right now.
I read it very closely.
Oh, yeah.
I can't recall now.
I'm getting there.
Sorry.
Their total expenditures was very, it was like $38,000
or yeah, it was very high. I was surprised they were only asking for $1,500.
I met with her last week.
Okay.
And that's what we had discussed.
Okay.
$1,500.
Yes.
Okay. $1,500 helps get them started.
Yeah, it helps a lot because they glean from everywhere.
Yeah, and it's going to count. I'll go with $500 to help.
Okay.
Okay. I'll do $1,000.
Okay.
And you do $1,000.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mrs. Green, to grant $1,500 to Society St. Andrew Incorporated for their Delmarva Gleaning Network, being $1,000 District 4 Council Bank account and $500 District 2 Council Bank account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is La Esperanza's requesting $2,500 for their comprehensive immigration services program. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $1,000 for their emergency immigrant housing services, which was $500 from Mr. Riley and $500 from Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Riley.
I'll offer $500.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
A second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $500 from District 5 Council Mac account to La Esperanza Incorporated for their comprehensive immigration services program. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is Friends of Georgetown Public Library is requesting $500 for their annual 5K race. Last grant received for this event was $500 from Mrs. Green. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
I'll offer $500 for this.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $500 from District 5 Council Bank account to the Friends of Georgetown Public Library Incorporated for their annual 5K race. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. And the last one is Lillette's Foundation of the Arts is requesting $4,000 for their Music and Me program. There are no previous grants for this organization. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
I'll do $1,000.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $1,000 to Lillette's Foundation for the Arts Incorporated for the Music and Me program from District 5 Council Mac account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two. The first one's in Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C4 planned commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 39.19 acres, more or less.
Mr. Schaefer introduces it.
And the next one is Mrs. Green's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.99 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Reintroduce it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments.
I have some.
Mr. Hudson.
I would like to give a shout out to a young kid, local kid from Rehoboth Beach, Zach Geloff. He's been in the minors a couple of years and just got called up late last week and in his debut game hit a big, strong double. And I'm proud of that kid, and I'd like to give him a shout-out.
And I see his brother was just drafted this year, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, his little brother, Jacob.
Yeah. So got both of them in In the Major League system.
In the Major League system, but Zach just got called up last week.
Yeah, that's great.
For the Oakland A's, yeah.
That's awesome.
Very good.
Any more council comments? Entertaining motion to approve.
Hold on one second.
Mrs. Green.
Is this where? Yeah, I do want to mention that we were flooded in the town of Greenwood Sunday morning around 3:30 in the morning. The rain began, and then when the residents got up that morning, they had flooding in their garages, the sheds, air conditioning. We've got about 5 homes, I think, that are going to have a substantial damage. We did get help first. Our first responders, the Greenwood Fire Department, was there immediately. Our Fire Chief Chris Patrone and Assistant Chief Mark Anderson. The county's Emergency Operations Director, Joe Thomas, came. And then we received backup help from Farmington Fire Department, Bridgeville Fire Department, Georgetown Fire Department, South Bowers, and Frankfort. We had no reported injuries, but during the course of the day, we did have several accidents, and our backup helped with that. There was a gas leak in town as well. They worked the entire day, and I think they called off the draining at around 10 o'clock that night. So today, we're gathering damage and assessing the town and the county and the state, where DEMA, we're all working together to in recovery and addressing the issue. So want to thank the town manager, Janet Todd. She's the one that's working with the people directly, and it's been a great loss. So want to mention that.
Sure, thank you. And the first responders did a great job all day long
all
up there,
day,
for sure.
All day, they were there all day, yeah.
And I did see that DEMA has approved some money for them already to help with dehumidifiers and dumpsters and that kind
dumpsters
of stuff for people.
And,
that's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Any more comments? Then motion to go to executive session for collective bargaining, land acquisition, and pending potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll yes. We're now in executive session.